This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Hello, Stu.
It's show and tell day.
It is show and tell day.
I love show and tell day, especially on the radio.
Yeah.
I didn't bring anything.
You didn't?
No, I didn't. I was not in the market for buying a rare historical documents and items this past week.
All right.
But you were.
Yeah. I brought in some things that we have just been so blessed to be able to acquire. To preserve them and add them to our Mercury Museum collection. Some really fascinating, one-of-a-kind stuff that we share on today's podcast. If you listen to the extended version, it's all of our three. And we also have Bill O'Reilly on. We talked, believe it or not, a little bit about the Johnny Depp trial with Ezra Nomani, because there is an actual important angle to that crap show, literally crap show, and the new dolls from Mattel. I've made some suggestions of some new dolls that maybe they would be interested in making, or maybe not. I don't know. I don't work at Mattel, thank God. But we have that for you, and the baby formula controversy with the Washington Post.
Listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program.
This is the Glenn Beck program. Welcome to Friday. Pat Gray from Pat Gray Unleashed is joining. When he walked into the studio, his eyes immediately ran to my beautiful, beautiful shirt today.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah,
they did.
And
began judging you instantly.
He was in, still in, literally in the door frame. Didn't stop, but I know Pat so well, and I said, "You're judging me for my shirt, aren't you?" And you said, "Oh, is it that obvious?" And I'm like, "Oh, yeah, it is. Pat. It is."
Yes. But
my shirt distracted him from a couple of the other things that happened to be in the studio today. The only thing we're going to show you right now, it's going to be show and tell in the third hour today. But right now, I guess you can tweet at us what's in the box. What's in the box is probably, it is game changing. It changed everything in the world. Would you agree with that?
Without that thing, the world would be a very different place.
Correct. Very
and
different.
I would say in a much, much more negative.
Oh, is it the Dean Kamen little scooter thing?
No.
It's not. What it is?
No.
You just have to unfold it when you take it out of the box.
No.
No?
No.
Okay, because that changed the civilization. Remember that?
Do you remember when... Yeah, that is what is that thing called? The
Segway.
Segway.
Yeah.
Yeah, that when that came out, if you don't remember, because we were everybody.
Oh, it's going to change civilization as we knew it.
Oh yeah, like Bill Gates was in Dean Kamen's office and he saw it and he came out and said that changes everything. It will change cities, the way they're built. It'll change everything.
The only thing it changed was the way mall cops get around the mall. That's about it.
Not even that. I mean, it changed that one movie called Mall Cop.
There was a sequel. There was a sequel.
Two movies were completely changed.
Two movies, and that's it.
It is. I will say it's good for tourists who normally would take a walking tour.
They can take a Segway tour. That's much better.
There's something behind me that we're going to show you in hour number three that Pat can see.
It's really beautiful.
That is...
amazing.
Amazing. Amazing. And it was... I rescued it. I like to think I rescued this. I started collecting American heroes... American items, because I think we're really actually dealing with people who will destroy history. They are, and I think we're going to start seeing stuff You know, there's a, I can't tell you what the item is because we're still trying to get it. But there is an item that is one of a kind and really the only thing that testifies to this happened. The only thing remaining. And it went up for auction and it was pulled at the last minute because the owner found out that two of the bidders were trying to destroy it. They only wanted to own it to destroy it. Mm. And that kind of stuff is starting to happen. And it is terrifying.
Seems like an expensive parlor game.
Yeah, well, this is the only piece. That was the thing that's sitting behind me now. That was one of my concerns. Truly one of my concerns is when you find out where it came from and why it went up for auction. I mean, would you be surprised if that was destroyed at some point?
No, we have seen similar types of things happen.
Yes, we have. Yes, we have. So show and tell today. And Pat Gray, welcome to the program. How are you?
I'm great. Perfect. Perfect. I'd say perfect. Yeah.
And you've been well, you are the, I mean, not only the cookie king with Kexi cookies, but you are also sitting on just a mountain of baby formula.
Oh, yeah.
You've been hoarding that stuff.
Hoarding it forever. Yeah.
Well, I immediately thought
since
of
I
you,
had babies, and it's been 20 years since I've had a baby.
Well, you had a baby.
Mm. Well, my wife had the baby, actually, but I...
But you could have a baby
I could, if, you you could, if I wanted. You, could, you, you know, wanted men can, of course.
Men can have a baby, yeah. And I immediately thought of you and your hoarding of baby formula when I heard the White House blame parents for hoarding baby formula.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah. I thought, gee, I never thought of it that way. Mm-hmm. Let's blame the parents of babies who are concerned about having baby formula. Let's blame them.
And they've been trying to prepare and make sure they had enough baby formula.
Yeah. By the way, it's this amazing. Is why you don't talk. I don't keep food storage. I did.
I used to as well.
But I lost it. You stopped it? Yeah, I lost almost all of mine.
It fell into the same body of water that my guns fell in.
Shut up, me too. Really? I was planning on fishing for a very long time, like a year for my whole family.
And then
I loaded that on the boat. Mm-hmm. I knew that that was a great risk. People would want that. So I loaded all my guns on the boat, and then I was just fishing. Mm-hmm. And lo and behold... You know, I got a fish and it started to tip the boat and everything went into the drink and it's lost forever.
Wow. That's a very similar fishing trip to what I experienced.
That's crazy.
And they're gone. All of it.
Well, I'm going
to. A lot of formula to be in.
Yeah.
You know, all the food, storage, baby formula, guns, all in the same body of water.
Gone.
That's sad because the only reason I say that is because I also.
Shut up.
Yeah. I had a
couple. What are the odds? What are the odds?
Same body of water.
Same body of water.
Yeah. And
when I get home, I'm calling the sheriff to report it because I want to make sure they know.
It was a big body of water, too. I don't remember which one, but I know it was deep. And
all
I know it was big. It was a lake or an ocean.
Mine was in a lock. And I will tell you that I have seen the photos of Nessie. I don't know what she eats.
Well, you realize how she's that big because she keeps eating all the food storage at the bottom of the lake.
And she can shoot you with her eyes now. I'm guessing. I don't know.
Yeah.
I just wouldn't go around or go looking in that lake.
Well, Nessie just wants her privacy, be able to occasionally pop up and show her head. And instead, people are always spying on her and invading her private space. So she's got weapons now.
You never want to violate private space unless the teacher says they can. And let's just keep that between us. Okay.
Yeah, that's
then
that's
they can violate the private space.
Totally comfortable.
Let me tell you, I was planning on taking 3 days to go over and look for all the stuff in the lake. But then I realized hate mongering America does not have this law yet. The Spanish government is now passing a law offering 3 days of menstrual leave.
So you can join wandering minstrels?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I mean, it's Spain. You know, they have those guys.
Yeah.
So it's for anybody who experiences severe period pain, otherwise known as, according to the article, dysmenorrhea.
Dysmenorrhea.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't want anything that ends in aria. You know what I mean? I'm even kind of worried about chorea, you know? But we should probably not call it that. I'm comfortable with uncomfortable cramps. But now, anybody who, you know, has painful cramps, and men can get pregnant. So, ow, ow, ow. Oh, my gosh, these cramps. No. And it's what's weird is they never happen on the weekend.
Really?
Yeah. Usually only during the weekday.
That is
so
really weird.
I may be out for a few days.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
You have them too, don't you?
Oh, all the time.
Let me ask you this.
All the time.
Did you see the memo from Netflix?
Yeah. It was encouraging.
This is.
Right?
This is really good. This is really good. Netflix had a culture memo. In a section called Artistic Expression that states it will not censor specific artists or voices, even if employees consider the content harmful. They said, if you find it hard to support our content breadth, which is so wide.
Mm-hmm.
I get those conservative shows.
Oh,
all the
there's almost
time.
Too many of them.
Too many.
There's almost too many.
It goes from all the way from ultra liberal to socialist.
Yeah, right. It does.
You know, all the whole spectrum.
Yeah. And once in a while, just a deep, deep progressive.
Oh, it's some communism.
Yeah.
Some deep communism.
Yeah. All right. So
some fascism.
It's good
mixed
stuff.
In.
Netflix may not be the best place for you if you don't support our breadth. The memo states that employees may be required to work on projects that they perceive to be harmful. And if they have a hard time accepting their work assignment, they might want to consider working somewhere else.
I honestly thought that's how all jobs worked.
Yeah,
me too.
Know,
that's really what I believed.
Yeah.
And I kind of thought that's how it worked.
Can you imagine if Stu said to you and me, Pat, you got to change your show because what you're doing is harmful and I cannot work around it.
Oh, well.
So,
okay.
See ya.
So who's got the problem here? That's not me.
Not our problem.
Right.
Bye-bye.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean...
But that kind of changed. It seemed to change because Disney's employees kind of forced them and forced their hand.
But this, right? I really think... They say this is because of the Dave Chappelle thing. And that wasn't, I mean, that's not exactly, that wasn't, that was just common sense. That wasn't conservative. That was just common sense.
No, he's not a conservative by any means.
Just decency. Mm-hmm. And so I think that this is what they say. This came out because of that. Mm. However, it's been several months, hasn't it? Since that came out, mm-hmm. several months. Mm-hmm. What's happened in between? Disney. What's happened in between?
Spotify.
Netflix getting canceled. Their subscriptions are way down. Their stock prices are way down. It's funny when conservatives actually play the game that has been played on us for decades. Mm. They respond. Isn't that weird? What are we learning here?
Yeah.
What are we learning? Their stock price mm-hmm. goes down. They start losing money, and all of a sudden they're like, you know what? We're not as inclusive as we thought we were.
The Spotify mm-hmm. one is particularly, I think, a good, and this was not really, I don't think, conservatives stepping up, but the Spotify one was an interesting example because it just showed that you can survive it.
Yeah.
They didn't come out and say, because they didn't even stop talking out about issues. They just said, you know, no. We're just going to do what we're doing, and... Now, and part of this, I think, is because they're very disconnected to U.S. politics. This is a European company, and they weren't as involved in our back and forth over that stuff. And
correct.
They just sort of said, "Yeah, no, we'll just, you know."
They don't have half of their employees that you know had worked for the Obama administration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, only a third.
Only.
But it's interesting because they just kind of didn't do anything. You know, they did criticize. They came out and said they pulled off episodes. I mean, they weren't perfect by any means, but they just didn't over...
There's a change.
They didn't overreact.
There is a change that is happening. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you saw this. BlackRock, who is ESG Central, because of Ramaswamy's new hedge fund
yeah.
That he is introducing, which is against ESGs, BlackRock voted for fewer climate shareholder provisions. They said, you know, it might be, in our assessment, maybe we shouldn't micromanage companies quite so tightly.
Really?
Really? Mm. Really?
Wow.
Now, I don't believe it from BlackRock at all. That is
hard to believe.
But they're at least saying these things now. The tide is changing. We are winning. And when you have a revolutionary with no hope of re-election and they're in power, I warn you, that's when they feel cornered and they become extraordinarily dangerous. You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck Program. Bill O'Reilly, congratulations on your number one status. You deserve it. Killing the Killers.
Thank you. It is on the New York Times list as number one, and that's not easy to do, as everybody knows. I got the word on Thursday. I was in Manhattan, and I immediately went to St. Patrick's Cathedral, where my parents were married, and I said a prayer. I mean, even though this is the 18th time I've been number one with the books, it's still, to me, almost a magical occurrence that happens. We put a lot of hard work in these books. There's no doubt we do. And they're good and they're interesting to read and you'll learn a lot. But I don't take this for granted, Beck. I mean, it's not like I take being on with Beck on Friday for granted either. But this more so. The number one thing is...
Our relationship on air is fun. But you wrote a very nice letter when you found out. You were very humble, which I really thought Makeda had written the email because you're very humble, and it was really nice to hear.
Thank
and I was
you.
So I'm so happy for the success.
Look, people they don't understand how hard this is to do. Number one, and when I get a guy like you who's got millions of listeners, and he says he likes the book, and people know that you barely read any books, then it means a lot.
Yeah.
And it's
no,
true.
I know, and. Thank you for using me. Anyway, so, Bill, what is the number one story this week in your mind?
The total collapse. You know, I want to advance this story now, the Biden story. So it's beyond any kind of debate. If you in your life have a person who still thinks that Joe Biden is doing a good job as president, then you might want to reevaluate that relationship. Because it's a delusional relationship. You're not dealing with a person who's got a grasp on reality. So when a wholesale price index comes in at 11.3, and nobody knows what that is, but it's what all of the vendors that you use, your grocery store, your 7-Eleven, your Subway sandwich shop, whatever it may be, those are the wholesale vendors. When they're paying 11.3% more for their product, guess who's going to have to pay that down the road?
Right.
Okay, guess. Maybe that's us. So it's not explained. The media didn't explain this. They're embarrassed now. The media is just embarrassed because they were all behind Biden. They were in a tank for Biden. They never warned any about Biden. Beck and I did. Now, I remember those conversations in the fall of 2020 with you. We both said, you may not like Trump, and there are many good reasons not to like him. But if you put this guy in, we're all going to suffer. And it's exactly what has happened. So now we have to advance the story. Because people, if you don't earn a lot of money, if you are a service worker, if you are in a union, okay, your salary isn't going up in correspondence with the prices. So therefore, your lifestyle is going down. We all understand this.
So, Bill, you know, we're sitting here today. I just don't think there is any doubt. We've gone from America First, which the left and the media thought was just so horrible. We have literally gone to America Last. And I said the people who are designing the policies for Biden, it is clear they hate America. They hate America.
Yeah, I know this is circulating around on the internet that Biden, in conjunction with Obama, are trying to tank the country.
I'm not even including him. I don't think he's that important, in my opinion.
Okay,
it is the people who are writing, whoever it is that are designing these policies.
No, you cannot be
this wrong this much.
Yes, you can.
Oh, you can.
Okay, so on the right-wing websites, the conservative, you know, the real hardcore right, they basically say this is intentional to tank the economy so that socialism rises up and the progressive left gets what they want. We whip out all traditions in America. We whip out the capitalist system, so they're doing it on purpose.
Yeah.
I don't think that's happened. What I think is happening is James Buchanan is back. All right? So the White House is supposed to be haunted on the second floor. That's the residences, all right? And all the past presidents are supposed to be floating around in apparitions, all right? So I write today in my message today on BillO'Reilly.com that Joe Biden should summon James Buchanan. Who was James Buchanan? Nobody knows, because that would require history teachers to actually teach, and that's, of course, not happening in America. 15th president of the United States, Lancaster, Pennsylvania, lifelong bachelor. Many people feel that he was gay. That's probably true. All right, that's his social platform. Gets elected president after the immortal Pierce, Franklin Pierce, who was drunk pretty much every day he was in a White House, Franklin Pierce. And a lot of wine flowing. So Pierce goes out. Buchanan comes in. Buchanan then allows the South to loot and steal all the federal armories, to take all the guns. Buchanan does nothing. 7 states secede in his 4 years, basically say, blank you, James Buchanan, we're leaving because we like slavery and that's what we're doing. So then Buchanan leaves after doing nothing, Beck. Nothing for 4 years, allowing chaos to reign. Lincoln comes in, Civil War, worst debacle in American history, hundreds of thousands dead and maimed, and it's all on James Buchanan. And then he goes back to Pennsylvania and says, oh, it wasn't my fault. That's Biden.
So when you say he did nothing, that was the last part of Obama's term. What Joe Biden is, or his administration is doing, is not nothing. They are, I mean, look, we are depleting our strategic oil reserves, sending the oil over to Europe, putting us into a very dangerous situation. They are canceling another oil auction for really oil-rich property while we have the highest gas prices. We have baby food shortages, and they're just blaming it on the kids, while there are pallets of baby food down at the border, which are required by law. If you're going to have people, you have to make sure you can take care of the infants, and that's right. But why are they selectively doing that law when they have an open border policy? They're killing us every single way, way possible.
Number one, those kids are eating too much, Beck. We got to cut back on that nutrition to those kids. All right. They're lucky they got out of the womb after Biden. He wouldn't have any. He doesn't want any limitations on. They're lucky they got here. What are they whining about? Baby formula now? Is that what we're hearing? Look, Biden gets in there. He doesn't know what he's doing. Would you and Stu agree with that?
He definitely does not know what he's doing.
I don't think he understands.
He's not competent.
He cannot
administrate.
Yes. Yes.
He can't do it. People come to Biden. They walk into the Oval Office and they say, hey, let's cancel the pipeline because it's bad for climate change. And Biden says, okay. Then they come in and they say, let's not enforce border law because that's mean to the migrants. And Biden goes, okay. Then they say, hey, under Trump, inflation was just 1.4%, and Trump had to deal with the COVID shutdown completely. Now, under you, it's 11%, but let's blame COVID. And he goes, okay, this is a man who cannot
think in the office. I agree with that, but I'm talking about the people who are coming into the office.
All right, but
they're
not
all morons.
A personnel decision. Yes. He's not going to say, "Hey, Larry, you're an idiot, and the last seven things you've told me to do have been horrible for the country." People don't understand what the word incapacitated means. He can't make decisions.
Whether he knows it or not, he is overseeing a group of people that are in a death cult. What they are doing is causing, I mean, look at the border. We have now the CDC's National Vital Statistics from 2021. There were 107,622 Americans between 18 and 49 that died from fentanyl. Okay, that's the largest number of Americans who have died from drug overdoses ever, and an increase of about 15% from 2020, an increase of 50% from 2019. Now, you've got those numbers. Now let's look at what happened with COVID. Same time period, 18 to 49 in 2021. So I'm giving it at the height. 1849, 1 year, there were only 41,000 deaths. And we shut down everything. Everything. We are killing our 18 to 49-year-old adults, and they don't give a flying crap.
Okay, that's all true. But do you think Joe Biden has a sheet of paper with those stats in front of him and he's actually thinking about how to solve
the problem? No, but I do think the people who are making policy, for instance, the safe smoking kits with the free crack pipe, somebody put that together. Then somebody hid it, Psaki. Somebody made the decision to hide it. And now we do know that, yes, five cities got free crack pipes.
Listen, you can do this all day long. You can every policy, everyone that the federal government has dealt with in the last 16 months has failed. So you might think that there'd be some firings, right? Maybe some new blood come in. No. Because Biden doesn't know the difference between success and failure. See, people, when I say this, they don't believe me. They don't believe me.
No, I think
we have a president who cannot think.
I know.
He is incapable of thinking.
But you might think that you and I disagree. We don't. On that
We're in lockstep. What you're saying is, these incompetent people around him doing these crazy things
Yes,
but nobody's going to replace them, all right? Because that would have to come from Biden.
Yeah.
And he doesn't know what they're doing, doesn't care particularly what they're doing, wants to go to Delaware and have some Jell-O. That's where he is.
And also spend some of his Chinese money.
The best of the Glenn Beck program.
I have to tell you, the Amber Heard, Johnny Depp thing, they deserve each other, quite honestly. I mean, I know very little about it, except there was poop in a shoe or poop in the bed.
It was on a bed, yeah.
Maybe the shoe was on the bed. I thought it was...
May have been on the bed.
There may have been poop in the bed and poop in a shoe. I'm not really sure. I don't really care. It is fascinating to watch this thing play out, though, because most Americans, you know, not the smarter Americans, just care so deeply about Johnny Depp or Amber Heard or blah, blah, blah. Well, I read the first article that I cared about, from Azra Nomani, who is a frequent guest on this program, good friend of the program. She wrote it in The Federalist, how the Washington Post and ACLU helped Amber Heard attack Johnny Depp. listen to this because it's amazing. Ezra is on with us now. Hi, Ezra. How are you?
Oh, good. How are you? You can hear me clinking away while I warm some water so I don't cough through the interview. Yes.
Well, thank you for being on with me.
Absolutely.
What a great article. Can you lay this out? Because I don't think most people even know any of this.
Yeah. Important. And I'm glad that you had a full disclosure that you don't care, on the celebrity
front. I don't.
Yeah, that's fine. That's absolutely cool. But the thing is, this is so important as a window into money, politics, and Hollywood. Okay.
Right.
That's what's so critical here. So what we have playing out are two celebrities, right, with a terrible relationship, both of them, unhealthy.
Yeah, deeply broken, both.
Deeply broken, exactly. And so, our humanity has to extend to all people.
Sure.
Well, then what we have is a nonprofit, a quote-unquote nonprofit, right? The ACLU, 501c3, multi-million dollar organization, right, that has lost its way, according to even an Atlantic article last week, taking advantage of this story and catapulting then Amber Heard to become their poster girl for women's rights.
Okay, so now they did this. Didn't she say that she was giving, I think, $3 million to the ACLU from the divorce settlement, right?
Yes.
And she only gave like $500,000, and then others started to pay for her. But
yeah. So what I did is, so to back up a little bit, right? I, as you are, like, we've written op-eds, right?
Mm-hmm.
We know how they are written. We know how they are placed. We know how they are promoted. So what I did is I just analyzed how it is that Amber Heard's op-ed appeared in the Washington Post. And I broke it down into six phases. And the first phase was establishing her credibility. Because, at the end of every op-ed, you have two lines that are in italics, and they establish who the person is and why they are a subject matter expert, right? So what happened is that Amber Heard, her italics says that she is now, working as this ACLU women's rights advocate. Well, it was a classic pay-to-play operation where she said that she was going to donate her $7 million of divorce settlement, this altruistic act to the ACLU and a children's hospital in L.A. But indeed, just as you just said, she only donated a very small portion. And then the court testimony reveals that, in fact, Johnny Depp paid $100,000 directly to the ACLU because he's like, why have a middleman, in this operation if she's going to be so altruistic? And then who does she end up also having donate? She had none other than her next boyfriend, Elon Musk. And so that's the first phase. She established her credibility, and the ACLU established her credibility. But behind the scenes was this classic pay-to-play.
And explain what happened there.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so they've established her as a ambassador for women's rights. And now they have, I'm going to take people back to the fall of 2018. It's a long time ago, but just think about, we have President Trump, okay, in office. So think about that. He's been in office a couple of years now. We have just had, Betsy DeVos named early on in the administration.
Yep.
And we have this little thing called Title IX. And that was a very controversial issue. It's supposed to have given women equal rights in schools, right? But what happened is that through politics, it ended up becoming a hit job, which is a term that you're going to hear again, on men oftentimes on college campuses, where they were not given due process.
Right.
And so you're going to hear a theme here now, because what they did is in November 2018, a communications staffer for the ACLU sends a pitch to Amber Heard's PR person and says, hey, wouldn't it'd be great if Amber Heard wrote an op-ed. And Title IX was one of the issues that this communication staffer suggested.
And let me actually quote that memo. I'd like your and Amber's thoughts on doing an op-ed in which she discusses the way in which survivors of gender-based violence have been made less safe under the Trump administration and how people can take action. If she feels comfortable, she can interweave her personal story, saying how painful it is as a gender-based violence survivor to witness these setbacks.
Yes.
Okay.
So you and I know as writers, and I'll give folks context that I taught writing the reported op-ed at Georgetown University to students. So I've been writing op-eds myself for 20 years, and I taught it. And one of the first things that I always taught students, as you know too, Glenn, is give people a personal connection.
Correct.
That's exactly what they did. And I didn't study my rhetoric, but later in life I learned pathos, ethos, logos, right? So you have to have logic, you have to have rationality, and you have to have the personal story. And that's what they then grabbed for Amber Heard to amplify.
So I've got about 3 minutes to finish this story.
Oh, my
gosh. So the writer, the ACLU, writes back, tried to gather your fire and your rage and really interesting analysis and shape that into op-ed form. I hope it sounds true to you. Your lawyers should review this for the way I skirted around talking about your marriage. So she didn't write it. It was presented to her.
Yes. And then the rest of the story, it's so important, is the ACLU communication staff pitched it to Michael Larrabee, op-ed editor at the Washington Post. He should have known better. They should have known better. And they are complicit in this hit job on Johnny Depp. And this is not just about celebrity, but this is about the abuse of power by a nonprofit organization and a journalism operation. A complete breach of ethics. There's no transparency in who wrote this piece. And if any one of my students had presented an assignment written by another student, they would have failed, right?
Right.
And so they owe Johnny Depp an apology, their readers an apology, and they should just retract the op-ed. But it's an important critical window into how it is that these special interest groups place their quote subject matter experts in there to push their own talking points.
Azra Namani, thank you so much.
Oh my gosh, thank you, Glenn.
Bet. The Washington Post did publish this in their opinion section under the headline, Amber Heard, I spoke up against sexual violence and faced our culture's wrath, and that has to change.